Nice singing back here. It was you. All right, then you come up here and do that again. No, no. The same row. I know it's. Yes, Mr. Snyder, and he's a very accomplished musician. We appreciate that. Let's sing the last verse again. We can't let that go. And really sing it out, okay? This is an excellent message for us. Brother, help us out here.
All right. Last verse.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Set the light, set the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Set the light, set the light. Set the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine, joy to joy.
Thank you for your fine singing tonight. Maybe sometime we should have a just kind of a hymn sing meeting to be able to enjoy all these great hymns. It's great to sing these. Thinking of that, and by the way, we'll have also tonight our little Olivia Lewis come and play the piano, right? I forgot, but I didn't forget because my better half reminded me. And that's why we have to have a better half. Memories sometimes escape us. So in just a moment, we'll have you come up and play. But I was just thinking about these hymnals. We're actually getting some additional of these, and some of them are a little worn out. But I was speaking to the man from whom we're getting them in Colorado, and he has a connection with Al Smith's son, who does the printing of these now. And he was just saying how this hymnal is unique in the number of missionary songs that it has. A lot of other hymnals, you might have a handful, but this hymnal has a goodly number more. So he was saying that's one of the things he appreciated about it. So we've ordered those, and they'll be printed hopefully by the first week in December. So they should be hot off the presses, but thank the Lord for that opportunity. If you will have some extras that we gather from here, we'll put the new ones and then we'll have extras. So if you want one for home use, let us know, and we can make those available to you. All right, Olivia, we look forward to your ministry to us. Following that, my wife is going to sing a song, minister to the Lord in that way. Nice to see you folks back there. It's nice to run out of space on this side. That's a good problem. Maybe we should shift this over a little bit for our brother to speak.
Jesus bled and died.
February of 1998, if I have my time right. That was the first time that I ever came to Fellowship Bible Church, February 1998, 10 years ago nearly now. And that was one missionary conference. And I think Terry Thompson was there. If it was not 98, it was 99. He's been so many places he doesn't remember, and our memories don't go back that far. But anyway, it was about 10 years ago, 9, 10 years ago, that I first met our brother Thompson. And many of you have known him. Some of you will meet him for the first time tonight. He's the general director of the Gospel Mission of South America. He's coming up here to have a board meeting with the Canadian side of their mission tomorrow. Then the next day, he will have a board meeting with the U.S. side of their mission on Tuesday. And last week he was in South America, so he will be in three or four countries in the span of just a few days. But he's agreed to come and speak to us tonight. Just came in about 1:30 to our house this afternoon. And we very much appreciate our brother coming to share the Word of God with us. We've been able to renew some fellowship and learn what's going on down there now in the mission and the churches. And he's asked about you all, and it's just been a great time. So we want to welcome Terry Thompson. As you come, I will pray and ask the Lord to use you mightily this evening with us. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Heavenly Father, bless our brother as he brings the Word of God to us. Thank you for him. Thank you for your work in him. We take pride in that which you have done in his life and that of the mission and of all the many missionaries that are there and the work that has been done to plant churches, to preach the gospel and see souls saved. Now, Lord, use him, we pray. Help our ears to be attentive to the Word of God through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to begin by asking your permission. May I take a photo of all of you tonight to take? My better half is not here, Carol. She couldn't come. She has to prepare for another board meeting, and she's going to ask me a lot of questions. And one picture would just really help out. Thank you very much. A little over a week ago, Sunday, maybe it was last Sunday, no, the Sunday before, 2 weeks ago, I was with Tim Gosen, a missionary whom you support in Argentina, in Gualeguaychú, the city of Gualeguaychú, and it was a Sunday evening meeting, and a very similar-sized group sitting before me in that church. And the Lord is really blessing Tim there in that work. And I just thank the Lord for his perseverance. And I thank Fellowship Bible Church for your help with him, allowing him to be there. And he'll be back this coming year and give you a better report. So I'll leave that to Tim. I won't spoil any of his reporting for that work. But God is blessing. And it isn't just support, too. It's your prayers, upholding the missionaries. Someday, I'm sure when we get to heaven, we're going to find out how those prayers move the hand of God in people's lives. You may be surprised that someone at home, down on their knees, moved God's hand to do a great work. We thought it was the person on the front line, but God was using somebody on their knees that was praying. And the Lord was doing a great work in lives and hearts. I brought along this evening, before I forget it, just a little bit of literature of the mission. If someone doesn't know about gospel mission in South America, you would like to know something. I've got a few pieces of literature with me tonight for those who might be interested. And some of you have known about the mission for many years, and I can't add much to that. And the mission continues with its same objectives. Still church planning is our primary, evangelism and church planning. And we do have camps and Bible institutes, but they're all really just supportive ministries to church planning, establishing new churches, evangelizing and preaching the gospel. As far as our family, just a brief update. Our oldest son has now been almost 2 years in Uruguay in the city of Colonia, and he's in church planning with his wife and two children, and the Lord is blessing them there. And our daughter is in Minneapolis with her husband and three children, and they're leaving, hopefully, 1st of January for language school in Texas, Rio Grande, and they're headed for Chile. Probably northern Chile, Antofagasta, the city of Antofagasta, about 300,000 people, and into church planning as well. And David doesn't know the language. Christy has it, but David doesn't. You have to learn the language if you're going to preach God's word in Spanish. And our youngest son, Dan, and his wife, Elizabeth, and their three children, they, Lord willing, leave the 27th of this month for their first term of service in Chile. And so the Lord is providing, And I think the last time I was here, I asked you to pray for 100 new missionaries. And some of you kind of looked at me a little bit cross-eyed because we're only 50 missionaries to begin with. And we're asking for 100 new missionaries. But I would like to say the Lord has already sent to us, since that time, 15 new missionaries. And I think He can do the whole 100. And there's more than enough cities and towns throughout Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay to put 100 missionaries. In a sense, it's like a drop in the bucket. It's our prayer will still be at the end, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into the harvest field. And so, but thank you, every one of you who prayed that the Lord would send us 100 new missionaries. And we're also praying for 600 senders who will send those 100 out. The Lord knows what He's doing in that way. I work primarily in our office in Fort Lauderdale and then travel out to South America from there. And when we're in Fort Lauderdale, we attend a Grace Baptist Church in Pompano Beach. And we have a good pastor. He loves to preach the Word of God as here in Fellowship Bible Church. But sometimes he can be quite contrary. And the other night we went to prayer meeting. You will not believe what happened at prayer meeting. We're in prayer meeting, and usually you think of prayer meeting as a Bible study and then a time of prayer. And we get to the prayer meeting, and he takes out some sheets of paper, and he starts passing them out to us like it was a test. He's going to give us a test. And I thought, this can't be in prayer meeting. You don't do exams and tests in prayer meeting. Sure enough, the first question on it, well, I got that one, because how many books in the Bible? 66. Boy, we're doing good. Got to the second and the third question, how many books in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? And I put down on there 37 and 29. Oh, I got the 7 and the 9 mixed up. Those of you that know. Boy, 3 down, 2 down, 1, oh boy. There were 27 questions. And of course, he was trying to just see what our general Bible knowledge was. But one of the questions was, which portion of the Bible explains what the gospel really is in a condensed form? Where can you find in the Bible what chapter, book, and chapter and verse tell what the gospel really is? Well, my favorite one for explaining the gospel would have been 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I like it because of the substitutionary part of it, which is to me the most wonderful thing that happened, that He would take my sins, who knew no sin, and He would give me that perfect righteousness which I could never have obtained any other way. So that's my favorite one. But that was not the right answer. The right answer, of course, was, anyone help me? Oh boy, silence. You guys are in trouble just like I was. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4. That's where you find the gospel there. And turn to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians if you have your Bible. And we're going to, the wonderful thing of this chapter is some great truths for our lives. And really the words that stand out in this chapter to me have to do with not in vain. Not in vain, and we'll develop that a little bit more. But I want to read verse 1 to us to begin with of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And then verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for our sins. We thank You for this evening, for Fellowship Bible Church, for each brother and sister here tonight. We ask, Lord, that You would speak to us and that You would teach us, open our eyes to Your Word and our hearts. Help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. For we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's a lot of different ways of looking at this chapter. Someone has said that as an outline, first of all, it talks about salvation, and then it talks about hope, because it talks about the resurrection. And some people have trouble with that, because the resurrection, something, how is it my body's going to be changed? How am I going to die and be in a grave, and then I'm going to raise up and meet the Lord again? But I grew up on a farm out in Western Washington, in a small farm. And when I was a child, my mom and dad would till the ground up and then take a hole on the corner and draw a line. And we would put peas in that and cover them over, or beans. And we knew that those peas and those beans were not going to come back up. But there was going to be a new shoot would come up, a new vine, and we would get lots of return from that one little grain of that was planted in the ground. And that's what this chapter talks about. It talks about the fact that these bodies are going to be raised new to new life, and what is now an earthly body is going to be changed into a heavenly body. And I'm looking forward to that. I have no idea what they talk about, the $1 million man or $6 million man, but this is going to be something super, far beyond anything we can imagine. And I look forward, especially when my back is aching, I look forward to that day. And Jean here, she'll look forward to that day too, when we have those new bodies. I have no idea what it's going to be like. It's going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And I'm looking forward to it. So this chapter talks about salvation, and it talks about hope. And then it also talks, it ends in chapter, in verse 58, it ends talking about work, about labor, about ministry, about serving the Lord. And that's the part that caught my attention. But I just want to start out with the verse 1, first of all. I started out with that part of the gospel, preaching of the Word of God. I came to know Christ as Savior in Sunday school and Bible club because my mother sent me to a little country church. And those faithful Sunday school teachers, I'm sure they must have pulled their hair out sometimes trying to teach me. And I'm sure they thought I wasn't listening to them when they were teaching me God's Word. But little boys can do a lot of things and still hear. And it got through, it penetrated. And they taught me that I was a sinner. Well, I knew that pretty much. That was for sure. And then they taught me about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He loved me and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die, to pay for my sins, that I could have eternal life and have my name written in that book of life in heaven, and that I would live with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. And one night going out in the farm doing chores, I stopped at a rail fence and gave my life to the Lord. And He's been that friend that sticketh closer than a brother ever since that night. And that same faith of a child, same faith I have today. Maybe it's more matured and tried, but it's still that same faith, still trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I stand before the Lord, it'll be that provided righteousness, that righteousness that was of Jesus Christ that will stand for me there on that day. So thankful for those that preach the gospel. And that's what's going on in missions today. Tim Goson and those that are out there sharing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. And boys and girls, young people that hear that and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have that same hope, that same eternal life, because they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have believed. As it says, ye also have received. And that's the important thing. God has provided salvation, but each one needs to receive it for themselves and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did that, and the Lord saved me and has given me so much in Christ Jesus. The last part says, and wherein ye stand. I've noticed something that many Christians live for the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him with all their hearts and all their strength for a period of time in their lives. And it almost seems to me like sometimes it's the way that you work in a job in the world, maybe for a company for 30 years or maybe even 35 years or something like that, with the idea that you'll retire and that it will be something of the past at that job. And you'll go on to retirement. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see here with being a Christian, it's something that is to continue our service for the Lord and in service and serving the Lord. And I wonder why then that some don't continue on and some do serve the Lord for a time. And then they seem to slide to the side and think that the other younger generations should step up and do the work and continue on. And in verse 2, there's a question that comes to my mind when it says there, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And that last little phrase, but have believed in vain, I tried to think of how to explain that. But when you go to James chapter 2, verse 19, it talks about the demons, that even they believe, but we know that it's not a saving faith of belief that they have. For example, they don't love God. The demons don't love God. They have rebelled. They're enemies against God. They chose to side with Lucifer, with Satan, and they don't love God. But it says they believe. They actually know God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They actually know that salvation is something God has prepared, that it's really true. They know the gospel, but they are not saved. They don't love God. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. But they believe, but they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't love righteousness. They don't love justice. And yet they believe. So it's got to be just a head knowledge of something that they recognize, because it says they even tremble, they fear. So it's something they know so well that it's true that it even affects them in that way, that they know there's a judgment coming for them. And yet, it's not a saving faith. It's not a real belief. It doesn't make them love the Lord as we do when we think of Christ dying and paying for our sins, when we think the fact that He loved us while we were yet sinners, when we think that He's prepared so much for us in the future, for eternity, that we'll get to live with Him and celebrate with Him. And even here, that He goes with us through the trials and through the valley of shadow of death. All that God has given us, they don't believe in that way. They don't love the Lord. They don't love Christ. They don't love righteousness. And I was looking and talking, I was thinking steadfastness and the reality of what a person is really born again, the fact that he serves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord. And I looked up some verses just to show you that even in throughout the scripture, we can see this deal of being steadfast and continuing on. John 8, you don't have to find it, but if you would like to, a good sword drill exercise. Just look for some of these verses with me if you would like. John chapter 8, and I'll read verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And talking about continuing to follow God's word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, over where we were, 2 Corinthians and chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Once again, talking about, examine yourselves therefore whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? And they're talking about those that, again, that really aren't saved, that really don't know Christ as Savior. It isn't that they don't believe. They don't believe that God is real, that God exists, that God... I think that I read in a Gallup poll somewhere that something like 70% or 60% of Americans believe in God. And yet, I'm sure that not that many are really born again. And what's the difference? We're talking about that difference between believing, recognizing that there was a creator, that God, that intelligent designer, as they say today, recognizing that, and the other thing is submitting your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior and living for Him, a changed life, a life that of serving the Lord. Two more, if you'll bear with me. First John, and chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that ye have heard from the beginning remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is a persevering, a carrying on, a steadfastness. 2 John, real close. 2 John and verse 9. 2 John and verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. What am I looking at here? I see the fact that God, when a person comes to know Christ as Savior, and a believer begins to walk with the Lord, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, God's expectation is that he would carry on, that he would continue. And looking back at 1 Corinthians 15, that last verse, 58, is talking about, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's a consistency, a carrying through to the end. And I believe that that is what the Lord would have us to do, that we would not just begin to run well, and we would not just do, I'm thinking of all the work crew from Ann Arbor that came down and helped us out in our office building in Fort Lauderdale. And I often remember I go upstairs on the second floor where all that work was done, and there was no carpet up there at that time. It was just a plywood floor. And I went up there one day, and written across in big letters was Ecclesiastics, there's a time for everything, a time to go to the beach. And I still remember that, but I remember all that hard work and thank the Lord for what was done and accomplished there. But that was several years ago. And I hope that Fellowship Bible will continue on and do great things in the future. I don't know all that you folks do, but the idea is to continue on, to persevere in serving the Lord. And I see that here in God's plan, that preaching the Word of God, that people might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that people might then continue on serving the Lord the rest of their lives, and to serve Him with all of their hearts. A week ago Saturday, I was with George Black, our oldest missionary. He just turned 100 years old, and he's still serving in northern Chile up in the desert. And they just this year purchased a new church property for a new project, a new church plant called Pintores de Chile. And what he did was, there's a local church in the town which he helped plant, but then there's a new section of town growing out, and he got some of the young people and some of the ladies from the church to go out with him, and they started a Sunday school out there. He says he's teaching them church planting 101. And this guy is 99 when he started that. And he now they were able to buy a church in Scotland, helped him out, and someone in Boca Raton, Florida, helped him out to buy a property, and they've got a meeting place now. And they're in the process of renovating it, so it'll give them the, the largest space possible. And he's still teaching. He's teaching the adult class. That's what he does. But at 100 years old, plus he goes an hour's drive. Now, he doesn't drive. He's got a young fellow that does the driving for him. And an hour's drive, and he's training elders in a church, leaders, lay leaders in a church that doesn't have a pastor, called Caldera. It's a port town that he helped establish. So he's actually working in three churches at 100 years old. He can still preach for an hour. What are we talking about? I asked him. We were sitting at the table celebrating his birthday, and I mentioned something about another lady who turned 100 had told me, she told me, "Don't you live that long?" I couldn't figure out for sure what she meant, but I said, "Uncle George, what do you think she meant?" He says, "She meant, don't you live that long." In other words, it's not all it's cracked up to be 100 years old and still be serving the Lord. But the testimony, to me, is striking. It's the greatest thing for all the missionaries my age, because we tend to think, I've been with the mission 37 years. Well, but when you look at Mr. Black, it's just a warm-up. He's been there 67 years and still going at 100. And so it's a good challenge to me. I believe that's what it's talking about when it says, "Wherein ye stand," when it says, "Continue in these to serve the Lord with all your heart." It's talking about continuing on. And one of the things that I believe in the church is so difficult, and this is talking about South America, is when the teenagers and the young people see those of us who have more years kind of sat in the church with our arms crossed, as if we've done our part and there's no more for us to do. And I think it's the worst example we could possibly give to the young people, when they would see us like that with our arms crossed. They should see us busy about the Master's business, serving the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength, all of our energy. That's what they should see. And that's what we need on the field as well. But I'm thankful that the Lord gives us the good examples to mentor us on the way. Let's go to verse 10. Once again, we're going to see, first of all, we saw it's about believing in vain, but in verse 10, we see it again. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And I get excited when I think of how the Lord saved Paul, who persecuted the church ignorantly. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And the Lord saved him on the road. And the Lord's grace was seen in Paul's life. We can see it, how he changed a man who was persecuting the church to be such a great church leader and a missionary who took the gospel to so many people, even to Europe, which meant that the gospel came to America as well. And I was able to come to know Christ as Savior because of the gospel being spread by men like Paul in that day. But Paul could say that God's grace in saving him was not in vain. It was not something that was a lost cause, because it resulted in great things. And we can each evaluate our own lives, whether God's grace has been worthwhile in our lives. And I think one of the ways that you can really see that is when we start to serve the Lord, when He saves us, and we continue on. It's a steadfastness. It's a growing in serving the Lord and continuing to grow in our service to the Lord. That's the grace of God in our lives working, and not in vain. God's plan surely is for that we would be fruitful and do good works and serve Him with all of our heart. That's what we love to see in missions today too. And it's verse 1, verse 10, verse 58. It's all talking about serving the Lord. That's a natural thing for someone who's been born again, who's come to know Christ as your Savior and living for Him. And that is what we would be. In chapter 16, real close here, verse 9, just a challenge there. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." The Apostle Paul had a vision of preaching the gospel. He knew God had appointed him to that. He said that he was not going to be rebellious to it. He was going to serve the Lord and follow the Lord. And he pressed on. We can see that all through the epistles, his desire to serve God and to preach the gospel in places. But here in this verse, he's talking about an open door to serve the Lord. And probably in this world today, we have a better open door than maybe ever before. Most countries, even a lot of Muslim countries now, are open to certain types of evangelism. But South America and many other parts of the world are wide open, no obstacles for preaching the gospel. And yet, the labors are still few, and the needs are still great. I estimate that there are at least 40 to 50 million people in Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay who don't know Christ as Savior. Some of them have heard, obviously, the gospel, but many of them have never heard a personal testimony. They've never met someone who really believed in the Bible and who really believed, who really knew Christ as their Savior. They've never had that opportunity. They've never had someone that preached the gospel to them, that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that he rose again. God the Father having accepted that sacrifice for sins. They've never had that opportunity. And that's what we're about as a mission, is to go into towns and cities and preach the gospel and to share the Word of God with people, to teach God's Word. I had the privilege on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to be in Mendoza, Argentina, with a group of 63 pastors and two other pastors as well, teaching those 63 men. And I had an opportunity to give reports on the three fields, Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, and we noted that there are very few students in the Bible institutes right now. Our field in Uruguay doesn't even have a Bible institute at this moment, training pastors. And yet we have a lot of churches that have been established that don't have men to pastor them. And we have other churches that are being established, like Tim's in Gualeguaychú, and no pastor yet prepared to take on that church so that Tim can move on to another area. So we observe one of the great needs there is, where are the young people? Where are people training and preparing to serve the Lord? And looking back historically, we can see that some of our missionaries and some of our pastors were great facilitators. They encouraged young people to go to Bible school and to prepare to serve the Lord. And now it seems, appears, we're in a generation when very few are encouraging young people to do that, to go and to study, prepare in a Bible school so that they can preach and teach God's Word. And there are two things that happen as a result of it. First of all, there are churches that do not have a pastor or a shepherd to teach them and to lead them and guide their local church. And I believe that's a New Testament pattern, that there would be those who would shepherd the flock. That's God's choice. That's God's plan. So in one sense, I feel sad when I see a church that's waiting for a man of after God's own heart, a godly man, to come and to teach them and preach God's Word, but there are not young people that are preparing to study God's Word and to go and do that. But there's something that troubles me more, and that is, I think of how many young people and others who are missing, whether somebody has not clued them in or told them, or somebody has persuaded them differently, but they're missing that great privilege of serving God as pastors or as missionaries. And to me, it's a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ every day of my life. I can't think of anything else I would ever want to do. Bill Gates doesn't even interest me in being that life. Serving the Lord, what this creator of all the world, preaching the gospel, living for him, what could be more wonderful? And yet, somehow we're not communicating that. And my job looking for 100 new missionaries, but why establish local churches if we're not going to have pastors in those local churches. So I would say, as you pray for those 100 new missionaries, pray also that the young people in South America and our local churches that know Christ, in our Bible camps that know Christ, they would dedicate their lives. They would give their lives to go and prepare in God's Word, and then go and pastor and preach the Word of God and take the gospel on, reproducing to other countries, other cities, and other towns. That's what we're talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's why God saved us. That's why the Lord bought us with that price. His grace was not in vain. So I leave that prayer request with you, that you would pray for them, pray for young people, pray for our men like Harold Golston and others that are teaching and preparing future pastors and missionaries on the field. Pray for them that they'll be effective too in that work and that challenge, and that they will do a great work. Down to verse chapter 6 there and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. All talking about serving the Lord in mission. You notice I mentioned that about senders, and I'd like to close with that thought in mind. It's true that God doesn't call everybody to go overseas and preach the gospel. Not everybody's going to be a Pastor Matt either and be a pastor of the Fellowship Bible Church. But all of us can be involved always in spreading the gospel around the world. And one of the ways of doing that is to be a sender, to stand with others that are going, to send them out. And I know Fellowship Bible Church does this, but individually, take on one of your missionaries or several of your missionaries to pray for them, to encourage them, and to stand with them. Our three children, having gone through recent years' deputation, I see the importance of that. I see how encouraged they are, and they have been when people have signed on and said they'll stand with them and pray for them and laid their hands on them and commissioned them to go out. That's an important role. It's just as important in serving the Lord as those that go out there. In other words, that persevering, that serving God, isn't just those that go to the front lines and preach the gospel. It's for those that send others that go out as well. And I would encourage you, if you're not already doing it, to become involved in as great a way possible in serving the Lord, sending others out to preach the gospel so that they might come to know Christ as Savior. I'm so grateful that someone brought the good news of the gospel to me, that I could come to know Christ as my Savior. And everywhere we have ever gone in South America and preached the gospel or taught boys and girls or young people about God's Word, people have come to know Christ as Savior. And one of the young men I was with this last week, Rafael Arroyo, was a teenager when he came to know Christ. And he's now a missionary in the Chiloé Islands off the coast of Chile. But his ministry has taken him even over into Uruguay to preach the gospel. And I see that the Lord continues to reproduce in others what he's already done in our lives. And nothing can encourage me more than to see the Holy Spirit at work in the lives and hearts of other people. And I just pray that he'll continue that good work in your life as he's already begun that. And when you think of the chapter in the Bible, if your pastor gives you a test in prayer meeting, and you think of the chapter in the Bible and the verses that talk about the gospel, remember that verse 1 where it talks about the gospel being preached and being received. And then it talks about wherein ye stand, that continuance, that persevering. And the last verse of that chapter, where it talks about always abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember Mr. Black down there in the desert up in northern Chile at 100 years old, and still keeping on. He has a real sense of humor. The other day for his birthday, he was born in Pennsylvania, But he comes out with a Confederate cap. You know, one of those old Confederate caps pulled down like this, and he's already shrunk down to about this size. He comes out. He's got a good sense of humor. Maybe that helps you make it to 100 as well. But serving the Lord faithfully, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. And I believe that's God's call on each one of our lives, to serve the Lord with all of our heart and to keep on. Not in vain. Our labor's not in vain. God's grace in our heart is not in vain. And we have not believed in vain. Our names are written in the book of life in heaven. And we are born again and children of God. And we will live with Him forever and enjoy Him forever with those glorified bodies that He will give to us. And we look forward with that hope to being there with many from South America and many other lands of the world. The Lord bless you here at Fellowship Bible and strengthen you in the good work that you're doing. And if you need help in knowing what you can do for the Lord, talk to Pastor Matt and tell him that you're willing to serve the Lord and you would like to invest your last strength and knowledge and wisdom and your vast maturity in the gospel. Talk to him about it, how you can do it. And I just thank you again for the encouragement this local church has been to our mission, continues to be to our missionaries, and I know the Lord is glorified and pleased by it as well. And I thank you for that, for following faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Thank you.